Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, hello, and good afternoon. Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. We're on LA Talk Radio, and we're live on Facebook Live, or live on Facebook Live, but is that kind of redundant? Anyway, we're live on Facebook, okay? Figure it out. So this is our second week into this Zoom conferencing thing, and I think it's going pretty well. So I want to thank Ronan for assisting me or assisting us in getting this thing started or getting it up and running. So, I mean, it's the next best thing to being there, right? I mean, I see two of my favorite people in the travel space. I can see them. I mean, I can't hug them and all that stuff, but I can at least, you know, say hello and wave and things like that. And I'm going to introduce them in a couple minutes. They're muted now, so they can't say anything. So they actually follow instructions. I think Kiara did not follow instructions. She's still unmuted, but that's okay. But anyway, but I do thank these two ladies for joining us on air today. They are, now see, they're in the travel space as well, but I consider them influencers. They may not look at it that way. They're both in different, they influence different people, right? One does luxury travel. One does a specialized thing where she works with Formula One racing. Can you believe that? I mean, that's huge. I mean, that's one of the biggest sports known to man in the world. So we're going to get some things from her, some information, maybe some little bits of some nuggets, some information about how all this stuff that's going on. And I mean, the virus, the COVID-19 virus is affecting us all. So I wanted to make sure I kind of cover all facets of the travel industry. And who else would I reach to other than these two ladies when we're talking about, you know, influencers and things like that. But I'm going to get to them in a minute. So we're on show number 52. Who would have thought that Russell of Hotels would be around this long, right? I mean, so I'm happy. I'm glad that I'm still doing it, still that I'm able to do it. So, but thank you so much. I mean, I can only do it with the two people that listen to me on LA Talk Radio. So I can only do it, you know, because those two people listen to me. I do appreciate the support of everyone that listens and watches and things like that. And just so you know, after this show is over, it becomes a podcast. So you not only can see us on Facebook Live, but it's being recorded and it's actually being recorded on LA Talk Radio. And then it becomes a podcast afterwards. So even if you're not able to watch it or listen to it now, it will be available later. So, and I put all this stuff on every social media platform that I have, as well as LA Talk Group on a podcast for me as well. So there you go. So go On Air with Russell of Hotels and you'll find it, or hashtag hospitality unplugged, because that's what I like to say, because we talk about anything hospitality, It may be crazy, may be out there, but we're going to talk about it and we're going to discuss it because that's what it's all about. It's about connecting and collaborating with people. And today is no exception because I have two people here that I'm going to collaborate with as well. So, you know, normally there's a lot of stuff that I go over before I get to the guests, but I don't have a lot of stuff today. I said it's all the same. I mean, we're all dealing with a lot of issues where, you know, people are still getting laid off and furloughed and things like that. And actually, I put something up on LinkedIn that gives the difference between being furloughed and being laid off. I mean, it gives you two different perspectives. So if you have not seen that, go to my LinkedIn page and check that out. I mean, some interesting reads. I mean, I knew kind of the basic, but it goes in a little more depth on that as well. So I do think the people that have looked at it on LinkedIn and kind of liked it or whatever you do with it on LinkedIn. Contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels? Russell@russelofhotels.com is my email. I'm on Twitter at Russell of Hotels. I'm on IG at Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond, which is my real name, just in case you guys did not know. Facebook, I have two Facebook pages, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. Website is russelofhotels.com. You see the common theme here, Russell of Hotels, right? So, and like I said, like I mentioned earlier, we are on a podcast after that. And so you can look at iTunes or Google Play and things like that, and you'll be able to find it. So just Google Russell of Hotels and see what comes up. I want to, a couple of days ago, and I'm saying this I don't even know how to say it. I saw this email, and a lot of people had saw this that are in the hospitality industry, hotels specifically. It was actually a message from Larry Broughton. Larry Broughton is the CEO of Broughton Hotels, which is they manage a lot of boutique hotels. And he was basically raw. He basically opened his heart because there's issues going on that, you know, he can't control. No one can control because, you know, business is down. And what's happening is that if he didn't get a certain amount of money, he was going to have to basically almost close shop, meaning close up his company. I mean, he's been in, you know, roughly 20 years. And I mean, it just goes to tell you that this thing is serious and it is hitting a lot of people hard. And then for, you know, for anyone to have to come on and talk about that and kind of open themselves up like that was, I mean, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And I always had a lot of respect for Larry anyway, but now that, I mean, he kind of did that open on, I think it was on LinkedIn, Facebook. I mean, it was on a lot of different platforms. I mean, my heart went out to him and not just to him, but his company and the people that he worked for, because I used to work for the company myself. So I know some of the same people and I kind of think I'm still within the Broughton family. So Larry, like I said, if you wanted to come on the show and kind of talk, I mean, you're more than welcome to do that at any time. So just reach out and then we can make that happen. So I just wanted to say that. So with that, I normally go who's on blast and all that, but you know what? I'm not going to put anybody on blast, right? The people know that they're on blast and there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm gonna get away from the getting on blast for the next couple of weeks, okay? But don't think I'm taking you off the list. You're still gonna be on blast. It's just that I'm not gonna talk about it at this point. So before I get into the guests, I want to thank my last week's guest, and that was Michelle Carlin with Alignment Advising, Samuel Thompson with Sync Meeting Management, and Michelle Avery Murphy with Avery Murphy. For last week's outstanding panel show. I mean, we went through a lot of different things. If you did not get a chance to listen to it or see it, I suggest you go back and listen to it because there's a lot of good information that they gave. They're all creatives like myself. And they work in the meeting space or hospitality space, consulting, which Michelle is. So there's a lot of things that resonated with what we're going through now or how to get through these things. And we talked about a lot of different things. So just go check it out and let me know what you think about it. But without any further ado, I want to introduce Kat Von B, a.k.a. the Traveling Greek, and Kiera Riley of Planes, Trains, and Formula One. So can you guys unmute yourself and say hi?
Hi, Russell.
Hey.
Hello, hello. I want to thank you ladies for coming on the show. Now, Kat knew she was coming on the show. Kiara really did not know until I called her and said, hey, I understand you want to be on the show. She goes, no, I just want to know what the link is so I can listen to the show or like so I can watch the show. And I said, well, no, you just can't do that. I need you to be a participant, not a standby, you know, somebody on standby just kind of watching. And we went through some stuff. We talked quite a bit this morning about not trying to ask questions and things like that, but just letting her know what I'm looking for and things like that. And she agreed to be on the show like at, I don't know, 10 o'clock this morning, I think. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Kiara.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. And Kat, you've been on the show before. So you're a veteran. Okay. So you do these talks all the time. You're worldwide. You're the traveling Greek. I mean, you know everything there is to know about traveling to Greece. Am I right?
Yes.
Not everything about traveling to Greece, but I'm trying. I'm going to get there.
Okay. Anyway, whatever. Okay. let me just read the bio that I have for both of you. Okay. And this is Kat first. I'm a luxury travel specialist who is constantly looking for interesting and unusual properties and destinations to showcase. My passion is and always has been hotels. Combine that with my love of marketing and a new career was created. I'm my own boss, have a creative team supporting me that is challenging the social media norms and what is possible in destination management, destination marketing and beyond. Important things to know about me. Coffee is everything, followed closely by wine.
I think they have honestly, I have reduced my coffee intake and I flipped it to wine just because, hey, don't we all need wine right about now?
Yes, like, okay.
If it was socially acceptable, I probably would have wine. Actually, it probably is. I just
don't it is it. Socially acceptable now. Okay. And then you work 20 hours a day. And I mean what I say and I say what I mean.
Yep. Usually.
Right?
Unless there's
wine
involved.
Usually. Okay. Okay. So that's Kat's bio. Now I have to read Kiara's and then we're going to get into some questions and things like that. So, okay. So Kiara Riley, I must, okay. So before I even read this, Kiara is the first Ivy Leaguer I've had on the show. Okay. Just so you know, right. She went to Penn. So I had to throw that out there because everything she posts out there has to do with Penn, her, you know, she's still involved in UPenn. I mean, in her classmates and her class and things like that, because I see that all the time. So she's still involved with that. And she has some information that she's going to share with us that, you know, her and her classmates get together and they do Zoom meeting conferences and things like that. And they talk about different things. So, you know, just something that I wouldn't expect anything less from an Ivy Leaguer, okay, to be, you know, to set the bar up here. So there you go. So I do appreciate that. But anyway, let me read her information. Kiara Riley's blog, Planes, Trains, and Formula One. As she travels around the country and world following classic cars and motor racing, she worked in the virtual reality and computer gaming industry before pivoting to work in university alumni relations, where for many years she managed an alumni travel program. I didn't even know that. She's been working from home for several years in the healthcare and corporate events industry while continuing to travel around the world wherever she can in search of gin, whiskey, and like her blog says, trains, planes, and Formula One. So welcome you two to the show. I appreciate you guys taking the time and come on, and you guys have some unique experiences, right? So, so Kat, if you could just kind of give me, I mean, I know you do luxury travel. I know you are the expert on Greece, regardless if you want to say that or not, but. Kat, are you there?
I thought I lost you.
Wait. Oh, no, I'm still here.
Okay, you cut out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I basically said, give me a little bit of what you do.
Okay. So I'm a travel writer, and I do. I'm constantly in search of the perfect hotel. Most of the time I'll just, you know, go stay in hotels on my own. I'm just like, just a really weird person. So, but I'm into the design aesthetics of hotels. So if it's a design hotel or if it's something really different, then I'll go out of my way, literally go out of my way across the world to go see it, you know?
Wow. So,
yeah.
Okay. But you specifically concentrate on Greece for the most part?
No, it's just that I spend a lot of time there. I should be there now. I'm really sad. But yeah, I spend a lot of time there because my mother was from there and because I have a real passion for Greece, of course, and tourism. Greeks do tourism well. They may not be as good in a lot of things, but Greeks do tourism like nothing I've ever seen. They do it really, really well. And I'm I mean, it makes me really happy. They have fabulous hotels everywhere. And it's really, I think they've set the bar pretty high. I'm constantly impressed. And pleasantly surprised. So yeah.
Very good. Now, Kiera, now, okay. Formula One racing, planes, Formula One. Explain that to me.
Well, I love to travel and, I got into car racing because of my boyfriend. And what's great about car racing is that there are car races all over the country, all over the world. So we would kind of come to a happy compromise of, oh, we need to go to such and such car race or such and such car show. But then there's always unique things to see wherever we're traveling. So I've gotten really into car stuff. I've been to a lot of cool car things. Probably the coolest thing I've done is we went to the 24 Hours of Le Mans, which is a 24-hour car race in France.
Okay.
That's cool.
Got to hang out with, we were in a tent with a bunch of Germans. We were in an Audi camp at Le Mans. But when we were there, before the race, after the race, we traveled around France. So, one great thing about any sport, but car racing, you know, there's events all over the world and then you can always travel to those events and then travel and see what other cultures and countries and cities and states are like. That's the name of my blog.
Very good. Very good. And well, I would assume now there's with what's going on in the world, there's not a lot of race car events going on.
No, they actually, it was interesting watching because Formula One, their season was starting in mid-March. Mm-hmm. And they actually, everyone traveled to Australia for the first race.
Okay.
And they canceled the race, I think, the day before, or the day practice was starting, which it was crazy that they were considering still having this. But I think people in the paddock, some of the team members got infected with COVID-19. So, so it was interesting, but a lot of the races are canceled. They're not really sure when they're going to start the season up again. They've been doing a lot of virtual racing, race simulators, which was kind of a world I used to be in eons ago, computer simulation and training. But they're doing that in the meantime. And then the TVs are rebroadcasting some classic races, which has been fun to rewatch.
Okay, very good. Now, what have we learned in the last few weeks about travel?
Wow. Not much, apparently. No, I'm kidding. Wow. It's just really hard for me because I see so many of my people so many friends that are in the hospitality industry, whether it be hotels, restaurants, tourism, tour operators, and they're just devastated. They can't do anything. And it's really hard to watch because there's so many people who have worked their lives and built these businesses and to watch this all happen with an indefinite future is just really hard to see, you know? I mean, for me.
Yeah, no, I understand. Now, how has it affected you? I mean, how has it affected you? If you can share that.
Oh, me personally?
Yes. Sorry, cat.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's given me a chance to actually work on writing more, which I don't do enough because I diversified a while back. Actually, after 9/11, I diversified a little bit because I worked in hospitality and I saw how devastating it could be when you have something tragic happen, something made a major event in the world. And that was, I think planes were grounded for a few weeks. Nothing like, you know, what we have now where the hotels are shut down and everything is virtually shut down. So for me, I started to diversify a little bit and I moved into a different industry as well with social media and that type of thing. So I've been lucky. So I consider myself really blessed. I've been very lucky. It hasn't affected me as much as it has a lot of people.
Okay. Kiera, so what have you learned from the last 4 weeks?
I don't know about me personally. I just think it's like Kat was saying, and I think it's just not even exclusive to travel, but I think just especially travel, seeing how everything can, that you've worked super hard for, can just kind of disappear almost overnight. I think it's been interesting. I'm going to be interested to see what happens in the airline industry because I think they got a lot of criticism about the bailout from 2008, 2009 and how they didn't really, I mean, it's just interesting how people didn't have operating cash reserves in a lot of industries, but especially the airline industry. And I just think people are going to think about doing things differently because of this. I mean, there was 9/11. I remember when I was in the alumni travel world, the volcano in Iceland disrupted air travel. And people were stranded in Europe or and trying to get back just because planes couldn't fly and taking creative routes. So I think there's always something. Unfortunately, it seems like these disruptors get bigger and bigger, and this one's global.
Yes.
So I don't know. It's just kind of, in a weird way, it's kind of interesting to watch. Although very tragic and sad at the same, for multiple reasons, but sad at the same time and scary for everybody.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that unknown that, you know, it's like you and I talked about earlier. I mean, we're only 30 days into this. I mean, only, but we don't know where this is going to go from here. Right. And, you know, this is for the first 30 days. An uncharted, right? These are just questions, right? Will our industry ever recover? Travel influence. Let's speak travel marketing influencers and what they do and how they do their jobs. Will this recover? Or even affect. I mean, can you still influence it without traveling? Can you not? You can still put stuff out there, you know, right? And this is for Kat.
Sure. I mean, you can. I have 30,000 pictures. I could just put stuff up. I could never leave my house. I just put stuff up for years. But I think it's definitely going to change the way influencers. Yeah, I think that there's no way things are going to be the same. Nothing will be the same. It's definitely going to change. And I think that if influencers, they just need to look forward and have a backup plan. I don't even know how else to say it. Have some kind of a backup plan, diversify, and maybe don't put all your eggs in one basket. So I think it definitely is going to have to change because all of the travel influencers I know got their campaigns canceled. So even if things return to normal next month, you'd still need to start over again to work with properties, to work with cruise lines, tour operators, whatever. That takes months. That process just doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while. And then you have to go. You have to do a campaign. and then you have to get paid for it. We're talking this, you could easily not get paid for something that you do 3-6 months after the fact. So yeah, this is pretty devastating. I think that they need to really think about what else they're going to do. Yeah. Mm. What else there is.
Wow.
Because this bubble might have burst, or it might just look very different, at least.
Hmm. Hmm. Wow. Okay. That's interesting. That's an interesting comment. Okay, and what you do, I mean, I know you're diversified, you do some other things. Mm-hmm. But as far as, I mean, I guess at this point, no one wants to travel. So should we not be putting things out? You know, should we not be putting things out about when it's time to travel again, think about us? I mean, that kind of thing. I mean, is that like real far-fetched? I mean, should we not be thinking about that?
No. I think we definitely have to think about it. And with all of us like in the house, now we're kind of armchair travelers. I find myself ordering a bunch of travel books. I want to see pretty things. And it feels like it's been 10 years since I've been anywhere. And I was just in Mexico in February. So I don't know what kind of, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I think there's a way to do it. That doesn't come off as tone deaf. I mean, of course you don't want to say, you know, follow me. You too could be in Tahiti laying in the sun, because right now we can't do that. I mean, so let's just be realistic, but there is a way to say, you know what? We'll be here for you there for destinations. We'll be here for you in 3 months, you know, we'll be here for you in 6 months, a year, whatever. Yeah. I think mm-hmm. there is a way to do it. And I actually have been actively looking at the things. I think in the beginning, people didn't realize this was going to take more than a week or two, you know, and as time goes by, we're starting to realize, I mean, I think where I live in California, I think right now we know that we're going to be in the house for at least until the end of this month. And if things don't get better, maybe longer. So I mentally have prepared myself for being in the house until the end of May. Yeah, end of May. So 2 months. I mean, if it's less than that, I'm great.
Great.
Oh my God. Amazing. But yeah, if it's not, I'm mentally prepared for that. I don't know beyond that though, you people, I might need a lot of wine. I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm sure that.
One day at a time.
Yeah, let's take it one day at a time. Now, did you have trips planned in the future that you had to cancel?
Yeah. I had some projects in Greece. And I was supposed to be there right now because this is one of the most important weeks for them. It's Easter. It's Orthodox Easter this week. And for them, it's huge celebrations. And they start on Friday and they go on till Sunday. And it's probably the most interesting time to be there. And it's definitely the most celebratory. So yeah, I'm feeling kind of, you know, sad. But in the long and short of things, there's next year, you know. There's other things. There's fall. Fall is a great time to go to Greece. So, you know, maybe I'll just, because in my mind, I'm thinking that's probably when I'm going to be traveling again is big trips is maybe September and beyond. Okay. And very if I'm good. Being honest, I might have allegedly booked myself to Hong Kong yesterday. So I have something to look
at. Allegedly. Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, be honest. Kat,
for please. December, because I figure December is December, you know, and that gives me something to look forward to. So I'm all about still keeping my mind occupied with travel.
Okay. And Kiara, what do you think about that? Where have you, did you have any trips that were planned that you canceled?
I didn't have any international trips planned. And before I forget, someday I'm going to go with Kat to Greece for Easter because
she's been promising me a trip to Greece.
I know, but I've been to Greece with her before, but not during Easter. And I love things like experiences like that, going somewhere to see how other places celebrate holidays. And there are so many churches all over Greece and so much the Orthodox church. I would love to do that. So that's someday, maybe next year.
For sure.
We can do that. I had actually was planning to go. There is the Women in Travel Summit was going to be in early May in Kansas City. And I had reconnected with them recently and then was actually helped at their booth at the LA Travel Show and got all excited about, never been to Kansas City. So it was, you know, it's not some exotic destination, but it's a new place in the United States I hadn't been to before. And I was really looking forward to that. They had a baseball game we were going to see. I was excited about going to that. That conference got postponed till November. And then we were going to go to Hawaii with Dave and his dad for his dad's high school reunion. I'm still not sure if the reunion's canceled or not, but we had rented through VRBO. We canceled that. Luckily, we had a good cancellation policy on that. And our flights, right now we're like right outside of the free cancellation change date. I suspect that might move. And we're like one day beyond it right now. But even if we wanted to go, there's a quarantine in Hawaii. If you go to Hawaii, you have to be in quarantine for 14 days. And our trip was only going to be 10 days. So, so those were the two immediate trips that we canceled, unfortunately.
Okay. Now, and I see this or I hear this all the time now. And then, of course, from, you know, people here in the States, when this is all over, let's concentrate on traveling domestic. If you heard that, and what do you, there are a lot of great, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of great places in the U.S. to go to. I mean, you just mentioned Kansas City. It's different. If you love barbecue, Kansas City is one of the places to be. Because back in the day when I was eating meat, I mean, I went to Kansas City one time, and I'd swear, I ate at this one barbecue place. I was there maybe 5 days. Three of those days I spent at, it's called Gates Barbecue. Three of those days, I didn't have a car. I was taking a taxi cab to the place, okay? Now, that's, who does that, right? I mean, back in those days, okay? Now you got, you know, Uber Eats and all this kind of stuff. You can have it delivered to your hotel, but this was before that. So I'm maybe dating myself a little bit. But yeah, Kansas City, I mean, there's a lot of, domestically, there is a lot of great destinations. I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I mean, who thought Santa Fe was so unique and in a foodie scene? And scenic and all that. I mean, I'd heard things, but it's one thing to hear, but to actually be there and spend, you know, several days there. I mean, I would go back in a heartbeat. So there are a lot of places within the U.S. that we, you know, if we can't get out, if we're, because of course there's going to be, everyone's afraid to travel. And they're going to be afraid to travel anyway, but definitely afraid to travel internationally. So maybe, you know, but I know for you, Kat, I mean, you're all about, you know, international travel. That's what Kat Von B, that's what Traveling Greek is about, right? So, I mean, I know you do some things domestically, but I think the push, and it's just me thinking, just based on what I've heard, the push would be to do a lot of travel domestically, if you travel.
Yeah.
One of you can make comments about that.
I feel like I haven't traveled domestically enough. Like, you know, I mean, of course, I keep on going back to my favorite places, New York City, Miami, New Orleans. But I feel like there's so many places that I need to see. And maybe this has made me think a little bit more about it. And maybe I do want to see more places. Hawaii. There you go.
You never been to Hawaii?
No, I've been to Hawaii 1,000 times, but I can go back. Oh my God. Apparently, I'm not going to see anything new. I'm just going back there. But no, that's not true. But yeah, there's like a million places I want to go to in the U.S. So yeah, that's a thought. But yeah, it would be nice when we can go overseas again. I'll be happy. Yeah. Really happy.
I think, okay. I bet a lot of people, I'm guessing, I have no idea. This is just my hunch. Like I see road trips, people doing a lot of road trips, not... Mm-hmm. Necessarily getting on planes because you can rent a car, you can rent an RV, and see a lot of cool things. And there's something to be said about driving by and seeing the world pass by. And then I also thought, I wonder if people are going to be doing more nature adventure kind of things, renting a cabin somewhere and hiking and not necessarily going to big metropolitan areas. I don't know, but I just wonder if that might see it, that kind of travel might see an uptick, just because, you know, if you're running a house with your family somewhere in the woods and you're hiking, or in, you know, and if something happens with, you know, the virus comes back, you're not exposed to a bunch of people. So I wonder if people will think about doing that kind of travel.
I think you're probably right. I mean, that whole one thing this thing is teaching people, well, this whole social distancing thing is not something just for this now. I mean, when this is over, you're going to start practicing that, because we've been forced to practice it now, right? But subconsciously, I think you're going to be practicing this forever, right? So it may even go into travel and doing more. We call it in the hotel industry the drive market. You know, we're here play, but you know, we go to Santa Barbara, or we go to maybe San Francisco. You know, things where we can drive within a day, within, you know, 5 or 6 hours, and then, you know, enjoy what that destination has to offer, and then you come back. San Diego, Palm Springs, you know, out in the desert, whatever. I mean, what, Blythe, if you want to go to Blythe to the river, you can do that too. I had to throw in Blythe, right? I had to throw that in. So
I still don't know where Blythe is. I don't need to go to the river.
Okay, let me just tell
you about
you.
The river.
Okay, I can tell you Blythe is 3 hours and some change. I'll say about 3 hours, 15 minutes from downtown L.A. Let's just say, use that as a reference point, because you just take the 10 freeway
and go
east. Just keep going. And if you don't, if you blink, if you find yourself in Arizona, you're like, where is this Blythe at? Well, you just passed it. Okay, so Blythe,
you know,
is
Dave,
about four.
Dave got had his truck break down in Blythe.
Why does everybody have to have a sad story about what happened in Blythe?
Well, he had a good.
Boy,
he had
going.
Anyway, okay. So wherever the destination is, I think there's going to be a lot, like you said, a lot more maybe day trips or just drive market trips, meaning you can stay, you know, you're from L.A., but you're driving to Palm Springs, you're driving to Santa Barbara, you're doing those things. I mean, because there's a lot, wine countries right there, right? Wine country, hello, right? So there's a lot of those places to go, and you don't have to get on the plane to get there. So yeah, so I can foresee that happening. Let me see. I had a couple other questions here. Travel insurance. Talk about that. Either
need
one,
it.
Both of you.
Buy it. I mean,
always buy it.
When I was a travel agent, I would make people sign a waiver 5 different times in 5 different places. And at the end, they were so exhausted that they would buy it, because I was like, you need it. You don't know, in this crazy world we're living in, what's going to happen. Travel insurance is a 100% do it. There's companies that allow you to cancel for any reason. And at this point, I feel confident that 100% people should buy it. I just bought it for my trip to Hong Kong. I don't know what's going to happen 8 months from now. I who knew that 2 months from, you know, 2 months ago that we would be in the position we're in. So it's really necessary. Covers medical, covers anything major like this, as long as you get it when you buy your package. So yeah, I'm a huge advocate. Kira's nodding her head.
Kira?
Oh yes, me too. I've always, I don't buy it domestically per se, because I figure if, you know, my trip to Hawaii gets canceled, it's the cost of the plane ticket. Yes, that's a lot to lose, but not, you know, earth shattering. But especially internationally, especially the medical insurance is huge. When I worked in the alumni travel industry, that was huge, because we were dealing with older travelers. And if you have a medical emergency, you don't want to be stuck in another country. You want to be able to get home. You want to get treatment right away. Whenever I travel internationally, I always get at least medical travel insurance. You can get the cancel for any reason insurance. I have a feeling that might be something that will experience an uptick. People will get that more often. It's expensive, but if you're doing a big bucket list trip, you know, a safari in Africa or some big cruise, or, you know, all sorts of different kinds of trips, the cancel for any reason insurance, I think, is worth it if you don't want to
think about
that. And also just, you know, people buy it sometimes like, oh, I'm, you know, my best friend is going to get married or have a baby or something, and I might have to cancel, or thinking about elderly parents, I might have to cancel my trips beyond just this kind of situation. So it's expensive, but I think it's well worth it if you don't want to have to worry about losing your money.
Gotcha. What will be your point of focus moving forward?
For me, I'm going to keep doing what I am doing because it's working for me now, and it has been for the last 4 years. And of course, it's the travel thing. I've hired some help because I needed it, and I think I wasn't focusing on it as much as I should have, because tech has really kind of taken over my life a little bit. but travel's my escape, and I feel like I'm trying to strike a good balance between the two because I love them both equally. So yeah, I just don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. I don't want to say I'm not fully committed. I am, but I'm not.
No, I mean, I think
if you know me, you understand that. Yeah, I just can't commit to any. I know you,
so yeah, that makes perfect sense from coming from you, right?
Yeah.
So.
And I'm sure all my friends are going, "Oh yeah, yeah, she can't commit." Where are we staying? I don't know. We'll decide. What are we? I don't know.
I've done that with her, where we didn't know where we were staying.
Really?
Oh yeah. It was kind of nerve-wracking and exhilarating at the same time.
See? And that's what I say.
Like we're going to somehow get to Crete from Athens. We don't have a flight or a ferry booked, but somehow we're going to get there tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And it works. We got there.
And we did.
That is great. Let me ask you this. Okay. I'm going to ask you this. Why are there so many women that are travel influencers and bloggers?
What do you mean? Why? There's a lot of men.
Not that are in the forefront. I mean, there's a few that I see, but for the most part, and believe me, I look and I see, okay. So there are more, it seems to be more women than men. Why do you think that is?
Wow, that's a good question. I've literally never thought about it.
I haven't either.
That's why I'm Russell Hotels and I come up with these questions, okay? So my job is to come with the question. Your job is to come with the answers. So let's hear something.
Okay. So now that I'm forced to think about it, I feel like women writers are very kind of whimsical, and they kind of speak to you and tell a story. And I don't feel that, and this is not all men, because I have a lot of male travel blogger friends who are amazing storytellers. But it's just more of like, these are the facts, you know? Whereas women, I think they put kind of a romantic spin maybe on a destination. I guess. And I feel like women too will give you more of their personal information. A lot of they'll show you a lot of what they're doing, you know. They'll talk about their relationships and what it's like to be a woman on the road. I feel like the experience is very different for women than it is for men. So maybe women just are good content creators they have a lot to work with. I don't know.
No, that was good. Kara, what do you think?
I don't know. I was wondering, I don't know if this is an outgrowth of, women becoming influencers, but I think women make a lot of travel decisions and for a family. I mean, I don't have the family. I just decide I want to go somewhere and I go. But I think in families, women make a lot of the travel decisions, and they're the ones that are getting all the logistics and thinking about the kids and what are the kids going to do or the parents and coordinating things. So maybe that's an outgrowth of that, is that women were doing that kind of thing anyway. And I know several influencers I follow, they were, you know, coordinating things for their families or sharing with their friends their tips of what they did. Mm-hmm. For like, I see a lot of that, like, oh, has anybody taken such and such cruise or gone to Disney World or traveled with your family to this location. And it's usually the women that say, oh, we planned this for our family. So I don't know if that's why that is. But
No, you both have good points. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I just, like I said, I follow a lot of influencers or whatever, and most of them are women. I mean, I would say 90% of them are women that I follow. And like, and maybe it comes with the planning and this, that innate thing to plan things or whatever, or to tell a story, right? Because the stories that they tell, I can resonate with those stories. I can't write like that, but I'm glad there's someone that can, right? And it makes you want to go there because you're just reading the story. It makes you like you're there anyway. Like, okay, oh, this is great. This is a great experience. And, you know, I would like to experience that as well. So yeah. So, I mean, I think you're both on to something. So, I mean, I just thought I'd ask that. So.
Thanks for throwing us off.
I know.
that's what I do. That's my job.
Silence. Immediate silence. As soon as you ask that, like, what?
Exactly. Okay. Now, we're winding this down. This is On Air with Russell Fotels, hashtag Hospitality Unplugged. I'm on with Kat Von B, a.k.a. the Traveling Greek, and Kira Riley, who is Planes, Trains, and Formula One. And we're about to wind down. They've been, you know, giving us some insights on, you know, travel influencers. I know they don't like to be called travel influencers and all this kind of stuff. I don't, but they're marketers. Basically, they help market whatever destination they're responsible for or market themselves or whatever it is. But bottom line, it's about travel, and that's what we're about. So we're just basically trying to see how this whole slowdown with this COVID virus, how it's affected them, and what they, you know, what they've heard from their colleagues and things like that. Now, we all three work from home, right?
Yeah.
In closing, give some tips for working from home.
Wow. Do you want to start? Or you want me to start? Kira.
I can go. I was telling Russell, as part of my pen class, we did a Zoom call and our topic last Saturday was working from home. So I'm borrowing from the tips from the great University of Pennsylvania class of 1993. People had some great tips that seem obvious but are worth repeating. Use a headset if you can. Mute yourself when you're on these Zoom kind of conference calls. Set up a little area that's just yours and make sure to set aside time to have some social time with your colleagues that's not work related on the phone or on Zoom. And schedule time to make sure you get up and walk around, sit at your desk the whole time. Schedule time to eat. Those are some to start tips.
Very good. Kat?
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. When you work from home, I feel like there's a tendency to blur the lines, you know, between your home and your work, and you can't really do that. You have to be very intentional with working at home. So you have to, if you're going to work from 8 to 5, that's what you have to do. And you, just like when you go to an office, you have to try and make that work for you. And then you also have to have really good tools, because when you work from home, clearly you have a mobile office, so you don't have everything at your fingertips. So things like Zoom become really important. You know, Zoom is my go-to for video conferencing. I like Google Hangouts too. It's awesome. And then I try and get inspired. Well, to find the time, I'm not one of those people that writing comes easily to. So it's never, I just kick out a blog post in an hour. And I love and envy people that can do that. It takes me days. I have to think about it. I prepare in my mind. But I got a new tool, and just for transparency, I also work for them. So I love the product that much. It's called Otter. It's a transcription. And so I can literally rattle off whatever's in my mind. And this app on my phone picks it up and puts it on log form, so I can keep all my ideas there. I can literally put down all of the foundations for the blog. So it's really helpful. It's been helpful.
I need that.
In marketing, it's been helpful.
I need that app.
Talk to me afterwards, sister.
Yes. I have, you know, while we're talking,
Russell's
I'm like,
out of the conversation.
This is, while we're talking, I'm like, this is a good blog post. Oh, what about this? What about this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'll do is I'll author this after we're done. I will transcribe this whole thing and give it to you. Don't
really?
You transcribe all of your podcasts?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Don't you transcribe all of your podcasts?
No.
What? Well, it'll take me like 1 second. Actually, I could have been recording this and uploading it as we did, but I didn't think about it.
No way. You have to show me this.
I will.
Show me how this works.
After.
Of course, after, not while we're on. Wow, that's interesting. Okay. So, okay. If you're not an influencer, what do people call themselves in this space? What do you call yourself?
I don't. I just call myself a travel writer. You know, I'm a travel writer. I like to take pretty pictures, and if they happen to do well on Instagram, that makes me happy. Hopefully, somebody within the industry will see it and want to hire me for something larger. That's usually how it works. But I'm just a writer, a content creator. I think is really good.
Content creator.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. Content creator. Okay.
Digital marketer.
Digital marketer. Okay.
Yeah.
Not
which
influencer.
Is something that you can take outside of the travel industry. If you can create content for travel, you can create content for other industries.
Yeah. And you guys have done that. You guys have done that. You know, where, I mean, yeah, I know you from the travel industry. But you guys are so much more than the travel industry because you guys have diversed yourself in different things, right? So So that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, most people, like, you know, when you're starting out, you don't have the money to be able to afford to pay somebody to market you. You have to learn how to do it yourself. And I feel like so many of these travel writers, bloggers, vloggers, whatever they are, they're really great marketers because mm-hmm. you have to market yourself. If you don't do it, nobody's going to see you. So they do it really well.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear. And on that, let's end it right there, right? Because that was a high note. Unless you guys, you know, have something else you wanted to share. We just have a couple more minutes anyway. So you have anything else you want to share? And any parting words for what's going on for our colleagues and things like that? So,
you go first, Kira.
I don't have any. I love to travel. I hope the world can travel again because I posted a picture the other day of a trip when I was in Santorini with Kat.
Yay.
And we met two guys that actually live here in California, but we met them in Santorini and cruised around Santorini on a yacht with them. And it was not something I thought I would be doing when I left the US. And then all of a sudden I'm on this yacht. And had just this fabulous time. And so I hope that we can do those kind of unplanned, experience more and not just, oh, I have to go to Santorini. I have to see this site or whatever, but kind of take in the moment and see if there is something unexpected that comes up. Because all of my favorite travel memories are those unexpected, tiny little, this big event or something, but little moments that I cherish the most and I think about.
I like that.
So I hope we can do that again soon.
Thank you for sharing that, Kira.
Yeah. And I hope that we all have the appreciation for being able to travel again, even if it's not in the way that we always thought. And I think to be present, to not just be snapping away on our phones or looking at our phones or I think to actually be present and enjoy what it is that you're experiencing is so important. And I feel like that's what I want to get out of this. I want to be present more, whether it be in travel, in my life, in with my family, my friends. You know, so many of my friends say, you're here, but you're not with us. And it's true because my mind is always otherwise occupied, as you people know. I'm sure I know that the two of you have told me this. You're nodding your head, Russell. But I want to be more present. So remind me of this conversation the next time I veer off topic.
Yes. And that makes sense. I mean, I haven't traveled internationally with you, but we've been to hotels locally here where it's all about, you know, that next great picture. It's not about, you know, enjoying this lunch or enjoying this. I remember inviting you to the Sheraton when I was a director of sales there, and it was about, you know, getting this, let's sit over here because it's better light. It had nothing to do with, okay, this food is good, or, you know, the salmon is great, or the salmon wasn't prepared well. It wasn't anything about that. It was about, let me get this piece of salmon in the best light so I can take this picture. So
that might not change. I'm just telling you, just in case.
So enjoying the experience is good. I mean, that is good. So stop and smell the coffee, the roses, or whatever.
The salmon.
Exactly. And enjoy the experience other than, because we know that's part of your work, though. But I guess it's a fine line between, especially in this industry, right? For what you guys do, it's a fine line between work and enjoyment or just experiencing it. So, and sometimes I think we may miss that because we're trying to get that right picture, and, you know, we're missing the sunset because, you know, we're trying to get this right picture, the right setting, or the right mood, or whatever the heck we're trying to do, but we're missing some bigger things that we should be focusing on. So that's great. I mean, this is a good show. I do appreciate you guys coming on. I know it's last minute for you, Kiara, but I do appreciate you being the trooper and coming on anyway. And Kat, as always, I mean, this is, like I said, second time. I do appreciate your insight on things. It's always valuable. I mean, that's why, I mean, I'm not friends with everybody, right? I don't talk to everybody out there, but you two, I do appreciate, you know, the friendship and how we get together when we do get together at our travel massive events and things like that. So I do appreciate the time together and just talking about whatever. And we'll do more of that. I mean, this is the phase we're going through, and hopefully, you know, God willing, we get through all this unscathed for the most part, and we can continue doing what we're doing. But in the meantime, you know, we still have to deal with what we have to deal with and be smarter about what we're doing, right? You know, if that's meaning making up new things to do to market ourselves, then that's what we need to do. But sitting around feeling sorry for ourselves and thinking our business is gone is not, I don't think that's an option. I think we need to figure out different ways of doing things. Who would have thought that we'll be doing, you know, Zoom, you know, I didn't think I'd be doing a Zoom conference call for this radio show. I mean, I always thought we'll be in the studio doing these things all the time, right? So who thought of that 2 months ago or a month ago? I didn't think about that at all. But, you know, it's a new way to get people just to listen and things like that. So, but I do appreciate, and I'm ranting now, but anyway, but I do appreciate everything you guys do for me. And if you guys need anything, let me know. And with that being said, I do appreciate everyone for listening and tuning in. I just got a text from my friend in Atlanta. He's listening. I do appreciate you, Coleman, he even said he liked my pocket square. So thank you so much. My cousin actually made this for me. So thank you so much. I do appreciate that. You guys have a great day. Be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Love you.
And
bye.
We'll do this again soon. So everyone out there in radio and Facebook land, I do appreciate you guys. I don't take it lightly that you guys do tune in to listen to the show. We are Hospitality Unplugged. We do appreciate you. And with that, we'll see you next week. Thanks again. Be safe. And I'm out.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.